Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you have any prayer requests or correspondence you would like to send to us, you can do that by going to our contact page on warn-usa.com and send all your requests there. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and also hashtag Warn Radio. On Instagram, it's hashtag Warn Radio. You can find us on LinkedIn with hashtag Watchman. And join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. Join us on Parler with at WatchmanDGS and CloudHub with at Warn Radio. You can listen to our shows and read the articles by The Watchman by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Warn Radio Network is also available through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Block Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Anchor, and Podchaser. Be sure to check out the latest articles by The Watchman. This week we feature politically, outrageously immoral, and it is shaking, stirring, and seditious. It is not an iota of difference from the torrid cheating in the elections around the world. Every demagogue, socialist hellhole, and left-wing dictator do it. Also, beholding God, greater things than these. The world may not know it, but one day they will. From the least to the greatest, all will know the truth. Kingdom of God. And those two articles can be found on danaglennsmith.com. And go to warn-usa.com to read the latest article by The Watchman, Tide, Time, and Eternity. These three will meet at the Lord's coming until that moment when life on planet Earth changes forever. Humans will live as if there is no tomorrow. And now I welcome in The Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings. Welcome to another broadcast. This is Battle Lines, Thursdays. We've been doing Battle Lines for a long time. Been doing Thursdays, and we've done Fridays, and we've moved around throughout the week over the years. But we pretty much do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday broadcast. We did our advocacy for the persecuted church yesterday. And you can always catch those online on our websites. But we're in a lot of other areas through our Watchman Alert Radio Network. And which gets out. And we also have scheduled on Fridays another broadcast. Sound the shofar. And we're into Romans. We finished our last study. And the last time I did the Romans study was a long time ago. It's hard to believe how fast time has flown by. When we began our efforts to get the word around the world through the new technology, you practically didn't have a new technology. It was 1200 kilobytes. There was no photos. There was no videos. There wasn't even really websites. There were boards that you could go to. Totally different, man. You people are spoiled. Now all your financial transactions are in digital. Boy, could I go into telling you how the mark of the beast, the one world currency, and everything else is going to work out. But today we're talking about Lord's merciful grace. Three key words. You know, he's still merciful. It's hard to imagine a God that really does love you, but you have to make the effort to repent. This is Isaiah's prophetic book, part 74. And we're probably halfway through Isaiah. We've been doing it for about a year and a half, I think. And we do a one-hour segment every week, the good Lord willing and the crick don't rise. Well, whenever you get into Lord's merciful grace, and of course we're dealing with Judah. And so, you know, whenever you look at Judah, and let's see here, we left off at verse 17, when the Lord is telling them, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, as an ensign on a hill. There is a blessing of the Lord upon his people who follow him. And there is that place where God protects his people, watches over them. He knows when they're in jail, in prison, wherever they're at. And the Lord can give you grace and favor. And there's also blessings, and Israel knew that. One shall flee at the rebuke of 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. Now, when we talk about Christianity and we talk about the new covenant and the coming of the Holy Spirit and principalities and powers and binding these, you can translate this into the spirit world in the name of Jesus Christ. 1,000 will flee at the rebuke of one. But yet, if you do not repent, if you do not come to the Lord, you will be the 1,000 fleeing at the rebuke of one enemy. You are under the influence of darkness. When you come out from underneath that banner of the Lord, as it says in 1 John, if we walk in the light, that's the big question, as he is in the light, We have fellowship. See, you're in the light. The Lord's in the light. You have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's where Christians today need to be. In that light, walking as Jesus walked. Judah was expected to walk as one with the Lord God. And both houses had problems. Of course, they broke up after Solomon, because Solomon fell away from the Lord. Now, the Jews, of course, say that he actually came back to the Lord. And, of course, they've got the writings to give them that clue. Now, all we have is our Word of God as Christians. And it doesn't tell us, you know, that he did come back, but it doesn't say that he didn't. It says his heart fell away from the Lord. That doesn't mean he can't repent. Nevertheless, you know, Solomon is one of the most, you know, there's writings of Solomon that are not published in our Bible. There's, you know, he is a figure that is larger in life. But after that, Israel was divided into two houses. And so what we're dealing with here in Isaiah is that breakup has already occurred. The northern tribes were the first to be destroyed and go into captivity, scattered actually among the nations. Some of them retained in the land, because whenever a country gets conquered like that, the poor of the land are left to work it to keep everything going. So we get down now. There's verse 19. And trying to find out what I did with verse 18. It's in here somewhere. It's usually in there. It must have, that's weird. When we get into it and look at the word, you know, and this is an issue, you know, people look at this and think that it's outdated, it doesn't apply. But in fact, it does apply. And many times, you can go through the word and that word will do its work. And so, in verse 18, and we did talk about this a little bit last week, and I like this verse. Because it says, and therefore will the Lord wait. And of course, that relates to exactly what Peter says when he says that the Lord is long-suffering. He's able to wait for people to repent, for mankind to come around. And why does he wait? It tells you, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Now you see, the Lord is full of grace and mercy and love. He also has a side of judgment. He's a God of judgment. And if you repent, he will judge you righteous. you come unto him. You believe on him. And that's the way it is today, you know. God waits for a lot. Well, look at the Christian church, you know, in America. We have been blessed and everything else. I mean, huge churches. And we've lived in a comfortable society forever. Generations upon generations of Americans have been born into this lifestyle. Many of them have never known shortage of anything. Now see, my dad, my grandfather on both sides were alive during the Great Depression. They knew about World War I. Both of them, all of them were affected by World War II. There was a lot of trouble, but after World War II in the 50s, that's where the baby boomers and blessing came. The wickedness was stayed. But see, your generations after that became spoiled, lax, wicked, indifferent. And now, by the time you get up to our generation, they're at the point they're willing to destroy the country in order to have Marxism. And if you look at Joe Biden's list of people he's got in there, they're some of the most left-wing nuts you can find on the planet. See, that's what happens when you get too much prosperity, too much of everything, and you think you did it with your own hands. There isn't a viable socialist economy on the face of this earth. Russia isn't socialist. You know, it's really, you know, United Soviet Socialist Republic. But that's not what it is today, and neither is China. They operate both. Yes, they have socialist tendencies. China has communists. They're all backgrounded in Marxism, and the control is Marxism. But they make money through capitalist societies. They deal with all of the nations on earth, selling and buying and making money. So don't let them kid you. There is no such thing as a true socialist society anywhere on the planet. There never was. When they created Marxism, Marxism by itself, the utopian society that it represents, looks perfect. But it'll never be perfect because man isn't perfect. Now see, and therefore the Lord will wait, even when you're not screwed on straight. Why? That he may be gracious unto you. See, his grace comes out of his mercy. His mercy came from his love. For God so loved the world that he gave. That came out of his mercy. He was willing to give out of his love. He granted you mercy, and the operation of that is grace, and you obtain grace because you have faith. Because you can't have grace or believe or receive if you don't believe that the power who is trying to redeem you exists. That's why it's important to believe. If you don't believe, it's dumb. Well, the scripture does say that the fool in his heart says there is no God. Oh, there's a lot of them. And, of course, we have a lot of Satanism, kids following Satanism. I've been dealing with that for years with the kids. And now that we're online and been online and so modern and have everything, they can get lost in their own little worlds of hedonism, sexual immorality, fantasies, socialism, devil worship, and everything else. And if you look at some of the games that even Microsoft and these others are putting out. And when their artists conceptualize the game, they will always take the females and make them into some kind of sexy figure with horns or something. Totally abnormal. They're not females. They're demons. That's what they represent. And so you got to be careful what you're doing in this whole world. We are a people that have fallen. But see, Judah was the same way. And so the Lord said through Isaiah, and the Lord will wait for you, Judah, so he can be gracious unto you, and you can be exalted again, because you're not going to be exalted. And he says that he may have mercy on you. He can't have mercy on you until he can be gracious unto you, and he can't be gracious unto you until you repent. Why? For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him, and he's coming soon. And blessed are all those that wait for him. In the new covenant, Yahshua is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the English. Jesus in the Greek. At any rate, he wanted to have mercy on his people. He wants to have mercy on the people today. And he will wait. Peter says he will wait. Isaiah says he would wait for Judah. And he did. And even when he sent him into captivity. And see, this whole thing that we're reading now is a precursor to what happened with Babylon. This is the Assyrian. And this is an object lesson for Judah. Do you not think he can give America an object lesson? Teach you a lesson, America, because you are too stubborn, too proud? I mean, look at you today, America. You're divided as never before. Do you really think that a divided house is going to stand? Well, there's a bunch of them that want it to fall. And they're not about to come your way. They don't care whether it's united. Matter of fact, they prefer to be disunited. They don't want a common front. But see, there's one thing that happened under President Trump. He united a whole front against him. And that's why they hate him so much. Make no mistake. There are millions and millions and millions of people who like Trump of all races, creeds, everything, sexual orientation, what their religious views are or not. And they all have one common bond. They like this country. They like it the way it was. They don't want it changed, and they don't want Marxism. And the only way anybody who ran for president that never got out of the basement, the biggest crowd he had, like he had not too long ago, he was before a crowd, and it said, and he had a stand with a little insignia, the office of the president-elect. There's no such insignia in our government. They made that up for him. They're telling him it's a landslide, but we know the landslide now, and it's been proven through the Dominion. The proof is all over that there was a massive fraud. There was also fraud in Obama's case as well. We know that. There was several people who monitoring that, groups, as well as people on the ground in Philadelphia, and election judges who came forward. Nobody listened to them. Now, this is a bigger scale. Wickedness. See, whenever you begin to get in wickedness, no matter who you are as a nation, God will take care of it. The Lord is a God of judgment, and he wasn't going to let Judah get away from it. Get away from the fact that he is a God of judgment. He needed, you know, he had given them everything. And they for a long time have been fallen away. And this is a shot off their bow. Verse 19, he says, well, let me read this from Peter in case you, it's 2 Peter 3, 8-9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with is with the Lord as 1,000 years, as 1,000 years as one day. Almost any Christian worth his salt remembers that verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all that should that all should come to repentance. He's not slack. He wants all men to repent. But he's long-suffering. Why? Because he wants us to repent. He doesn't want us destroyed. The devil and his minions are slated for a place of fire. That wasn't meant for us. But God gives us a choice. The same choice he gave Judah. And thank God, you know, God redeemed Judah, because Yahshua is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he can't very well be the Lion of the tribe of Judah if there is no Judah. But see, God is the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, the true King of the universe, of all things. There was nothing before him and nothing after him. I am, he says. I've always been here. I am. That's who you tell him. The one who's always been here? Yeah, he's the one in charge, and he sent me, Moses said. I am has sent me. Verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, and thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Now you see, there is some truths here that are very, very pertinent. Number one, the first thing he says, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. God has chosen Zion in Jerusalem. Zion is another name for Jerusalem, for the whole area, the place. Today you have Christian Zionists that support this. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord is going to rule at Jerusalem. And no matter what people do, no matter how much the devil fights over wanting Jerusalem, you know, in the human world, Jerusalem has fallen many times. A lot of blood has been shed. But from the point when Israel got their state back in 48 to where we are today, Israel has come a long ways. And the Jews are divided. You've got a lot of Jews in America that are not Israel's supporters. You got a lot of Christians that are not supporters of Jews or of their state. But we unequivocally support the Jews there. Don't agree with everything they're doing, but we support them. And so did Trump. Very few presidents have supported Israel like Trump has. So the people of God are going to dwell at Jerusalem. You can say, well, you talk about Jews or Christians. Well, both of them are going to be there. But if you think in the new world that God creates, there's just going to be, everybody's going to be stuck at Jerusalem, you're mistaken. That's not the truth at all. Matter of fact, I could lead you on an adventure through the way it's going to be. There's a whole earth. And Scripture says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Those are God's people. Yes, God's temple will be with us. There will be a heavenly Jerusalem. There will be a remade earth and heavens. Do you really think you're just going to be sitting in one place all the time? What kind of an eternity is that? No, all of the world will be remade. You'll be able to go anywhere you want on this earth. And I also believe you'll be able to go anywhere you want to in this universe because the whole thing will be redone. Oh, man. There's one thing about being not only someone who studies Scripture. And in this case, when we're talking Isaiah, you can figure for every hour that you teach it, you've got 2 hours in study, at least. Based on that, there's 150 plus hours in this book that I've spent. But more than that, you see, God is a God of creation. Do you not think that you're going to be in a world like you have never known before? So make no mistake, the people are going to dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. If the people, some of them don't want to repent, the answer is very simple. This applies for Christians and unbelievers. If you do not want to be in a kingdom of the Lord God Almighty and understand that His Son that He gave is the Savior of the world, that's your business. If you don't want to live in a place that's perfect, created by this supreme being for His people, His creation, and a world that you couldn't even imagine, even though we think about it, that's up to you. But He tells him, you're not going to weep anymore, see, because right now Isaiah is dealing with the fact that they've got an army, the Assyrians, coming down, led by Sennacherib, a lot of warriors. They can't defend the place. They wanted to go to Egypt. That didn't work out. Egypt wasn't going to be able to deliver them because Egypt couldn't contain Assyria. The whole region couldn't contain Syria because they were a ravenous lion coming down. They camped at the gates of Jerusalem, and that's where they met their demise and destruction. And that is exactly how the Lord works with His enemies. So when you see wickedness triumphing, their end is near. Now we know when, as we call Him, I call Him the son of perdition, the beast. A lot of people refer to Him as the Antichrist, but the problem with that is there's a lot of Antichrist. Make no mistake. The son of perdition is Antichrist. He won't care for that. It says that quite plainly. He will reject the love of the truth, which is that God so loved the world, and also everything concerning the Lord, the gospel, everything will be rejected. There is a society that's coming, and we are entering into that society right now. And that is in some parts of the world in total darkness right now. When you talk about the time of the night, it's here in some nations right now. Thou shalt weep no more. He'll be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he shall answer thee. Because he knows that when they see Jerusalem surrounded, and it's going to happen again. This is one of the big, significant end of days. The Lord has said, I will gather them and bring them down to judge them there at the gates of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about it. Jerusalem is the center. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. But when they see, and Isaiah is speaking to the people of Judah, he will be gracious unto you when you cry. They might say, well, we're not going to cry. Yeah, you will. You'll cry out to the Lord, and he will rescue you. He's always done that. When we go through the prophets, when we see what God has done, yes, he will judge them, but he will also when they are confronted by the enemies that will totally destroy them, they will cry out to the Lord, and the Lord will answer their cries. Now, see, the problem that we get into this, though, and Judah had it, we have it in modern society, we have it in America, is that, well, and you also have it with your kids. And especially some of these kids. And my heart goes out to this generation because there's a lot of them that are lost, literally, in America that shouldn't be. But I am impressed with a lot of the young kids coming up, too, that have faith, that know what they believe. And they also believe in this country that it needs to repent and that if this one is destroyed, there's no place else. There's a lot of good kids, both in the political realm and in the Christian realm, that are coming up. And it's important to understand that there's a lot of them are not swallowing the Kool-Aid that you see through a lot of these kids. And a lot of them, and we've seen them, they want you to believe that, you know, when they burn effigies to Satan, they're chanting Satan, they're drinking fake blood, and I've seen all these on the videos. They do this for show to tell you that we're the ones in charge. This is the way the devil does. The devil come up to your house and scream at you, I'm in charge. You just tell him, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. The Lord said, resist him and he will flee from you. That's what he said, resist. The problem with a lot of Christians is they don't resist. They meekly accept it. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Please come. No, that's not the way. You have to have authority when dealing with the devil. Because he knows who the Lord is. Too bad you don't. And for the people in Jerusalem, he is the God who delivered them out of the hands of Egypt. He is the God that parted the waters. Remember the bitter waters at Marah. Remember what he did. He took them right into the point of entering in to the promised land. And he had Moses send out 10 spies. And the Lord knew what they would come back with. They were afraid except for Joshua and Caleb. And so that generation that was full of unbelief, God couldn't get them into the promised land because of unbelief. They were going to die in the wilderness because the spies, 10 of the spies, they sent out 12, 10 of the spies came back with a bad report and thoroughly entrenched Judah in unbelief and all the children of Israel in unbelief. That's the same way with the church today. You have people with bad reports. God can't do anything. We can't do this. God doesn't heal today. God doesn't do anything today. He's off golfing in the next universe. I mean, and it goes on and on. And you have these pompous hyenas, ravenous lions in your pulpit that are no more men of God than the devil is. And they're leading Christians into not the promised land, but perdition. And it's time for the people to shake off the lethargy in this country. It was time for Judah to shake off the lethargy. This is the God of the universe speaking to them, and they were serving other gods. It even got to the point where they were passing their children through fire. God, help us. And passing children through the fire is a type, just the same type as abortive processes today. And when these people start crying out, including the women crying, it's their body. It may be their body, but the baby isn't theirs, it's God's. That soul, that flesh was created by him within the womb of that woman. He created everything. That belongs to the Lord God, and you have no right to kill life. Period. But when you begin to get to the point that you want to kill him right out of the womb, we're really in trouble. Because all those aborted babies form a sacrifice unto the devil. And I've been saying this for years and years and years because it's a truth. I've been teaching on blood guilt, and that's one of the worst aspects of blood guilt is abortion. And it's just like passing the children through fire that the pagans used to do. It's the same thing. Innocent blood sacrificed unto the devil gives power to them. But in this case, in this country, there's one thing. There are people here that reject the blood of infants. That it's precious not to be spilled. Life is precious. You can't go around murdering and stabbing and burning and thinking you're going to build a kingdom. Because it will reach you. And that's how the Assyrians believed. They were vicious and ferocious. And they were going to destroy this punky Jerusalem and those Jews. Their God was not going to stand in the way. And if you read the whole discourse of it, they were challenging Jehovah God and the priests and Hezekiah. And the children of Israel, many of them, weeping behind the gates, wanting to be delivered. And it's their weakness, their failure to see who Jehovah really was that got them there in the first place. Oh, they went through the motions, but there was no heart involved. God looks for heart. He looks for people who love Him. But what do we find? People that are weak-kneed, people that don't want to repent, people who want to hang on to their lusts and their sins. Good luck with that. But see, if you really want delivered, He will deliver you. It was there at that time when they saw that enemy and they were ferocious, they cried. The Lord heard, and He delivered them. And He says in verse 20, it says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction," and I love those two phrases, the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, both of those. Water is life-sustaining. Without it, you can't live. Bread is a sustenance to support that life within your body. The bread of adversity, you would have things that would affect that. There would be famines. There would be pestilences. There would be shortages. And then you would have none. And if you read into the real judgments that God had sent upon them, you're not going to believe it. The water of affliction, those things that very save your life. You know, water sustains you, and without water you will die. And so there's that water of affliction that brings you to the point that like you're going to die. And He says, "Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teacher." And they will wake up. Because that bread of adversity and water of affliction is outside the gates of Jerusalem. When you see your enemies, you'll see. And up till this time, they had all these things happening, and they refused to see the signs. I've been telling people for a long time, look around. You can see the judgment, not only on the world, but see the judgment on America. You look around, you need to understand that God is sending America the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, trying to wake you up, trying to get you to see. Because He loves you. He wants to bless you. But He is not going to bless your sin and iniquity. He is not going to bless your bloodshed. He is not going to bless your hatred, your vileness, your lying, your cheating. He's not going to bless it. Now, if you get into Ezekiel reading, and when we talk about this, you will find how God really does judgment. In verse 16 of Ezekiel 4, he says, "Moreover, he said unto me," this is the angel, "Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure with astonishment." In other words, the abundance will suddenly be removed. You will not have as much bread, and your water will be cut back because, number one, when God sends judgment, like for instance here, and if I remember right, it was Hezekiah who built an underwater supply. And I've seen this from some stuff out of Jerusalem when they were showing you it. And that's the way a lot of these cities even manage to get by, is having stores of grain and have an underground water supply in order to feed their people. But if it's a long siege, even that can run out. And see, when you begin to get to the point where you're not having that abundance, where you do not have that water, and in verse 17, "that they may want bread and water and be astonished one with another and consume away for their iniquity be." And why is this happening? Because they won't repent. Zephaniah 3:8, I told you this one. "Therefore wait upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey." You better believe that word too. "For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." That's called the wrath of God, tribulation. Acts 14:22. Now, this has to do with believers. "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Tribulation. Now see, we classify the one coming as great tribulation, but there's great tribulation right now. We report on it every week. The sorrows and the tribulation on the persecuted church worldwide. And Americans whine. And your politicians whine. And your politicians lie. They cheat. They've gotten rich. They've gotten fat. They've gotten old. And they've given way to youngsters who are thugs, who have no faith except in destruction, whose God is the devil, and whose motive is to destroy. But there is an opposition. There's a lot of people that would oppose them in their efforts. And if there ever were a civil war in America, I believe it would be far worse than the Civil War. And I believe the end result would be two individual countries. And I can even line them out for you. The best way to do it, you follow the Democrat line, and the Republican lines, and you're going to find the difference and the division. Now, we get to the point in verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. Now, we have the Spirit of God today as Christians, which will let us know and guide us if we will acknowledge the Lord and look to Him. Not be impulsive. Wait on the Lord. Now you see, if you go with the verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now that is a direction, a way to get direction. I believe this verse, I follow this verse a lot. I mean, as far as in my everyday life, applying it. But see, and thine ears shall hear word behind thee. Now you will, the Lord Himself says, you will, my sheep, hear my voice. Make no mistake. As Christians, we can hear the voice of the Lord. We can hear His Spirit. His Word can also speak to us. There's also dreams and visions, but there's also open visions. But I know about this verse, personally. And the Lord was telling them that there would be direction. In Jeremiah 6:16 through 7, Jeremiah was further on than Isaiah. Jeremiah was dealing directly with Judah, who was going to be invaded by Babylon. And so Judah is telling them to go back to the old ways, the ways where they really knew the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Now I'm a watchman. I've been a watchman before. Watchmen were cool. You got watchmen everywhere. The first time I mentioned what was happening to this country and going to happen was back in 1973. And over the years, I've told people what was coming. Good Christian people. Didn't get very far. I lost friends. After a while, they didn't want to have anything to do with me. I've been warning America in this last day thing when Tower's been at my side. And it's well over two decades now. I keep saying two decades, but it's well over that. And we have been calling out and crying for the Christians to stand up, to have a repentance and stand publicly calling on the nation to repent. And the first time in all the time that I've been doing this, we've only seen it this year with all the trouble and everything happening. See, when the pressure gets up, when things look like it's not, people then shake it off and they realize we need to do something. They didn't want to do it before, but now they do. And it started off with a group of three, and now you have more of them. But make no mistake, God is paying attention. In 1 John 2, Verse 20 says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. That's the Spirit of God teaching you. And he goes on to say, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and know that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Now, there's a lot of antichrists in America right now. That doesn't mean they are the dark one, the beast that's coming. That just means they're antichrist. There's a lot of antichrist. When the beast comes, yeah, he's going to be antichrist. But all of his followers are going to be antichrist. We're talking about an entirely different thing when Christians start saying, oh, he's the antichrist, dear God in heaven. They were saying Obama's the antichrist, and they said Bush was the antichrist. We're really good at that. The bottom line of it is, there's a lot of people that are antichrist. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Yahshua. They're anti. And they also deny the Father and the Son as well. I've even talked with pastors that were pastors of churches. I've talked to them. I was standing outside a restaurant where this pastor opened up because of some call that he said God gave him. It later went bankrupt, and I don't know where he's at now. But I talked to him. I said, you can't separate the Father and the Son. Didn't do any good. For 3 hours out in back of a restaurant, you know, we left I was never a friend, but you know, you can't talk to him. You know, he's just, well, you know, I repented in front of my congregation. Well, you're going to have to repent before God. What did your congregation know? They're just like you, because when you have someone that is a liar in your pulpit, not telling you the truth of God, that same spirit is imparted to the people who listen to him every time. And it opens the way for more unclean spirits. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Now I want to go down to verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth and is no lie, even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. See, the bottom line of it is, if you are truly born again, and truly have put the Lord first, and you are walking in his light. And I make these specifications because there's a lot of Christians that don't know the truth. So-called. Are you really in him? Do you really know him? If you do, and you adhere to that which was taught in the beginning, and that is the Lord teaching the disciples who became the apostles who taught the early church. That's what you need to be teaching. Not modern day 101 advanced Christianity for pagan Christians. And so, we are going to start in Isaiah 22. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless those who hear this word whenever they hear it. In Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Be blessed, folks. Take care. Have a good holiday. Serve the Lord and follow him. Don't worry about all the things going on. But look to the Lord. Shalom, everybody. Go to our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. We are on lots of social sites. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.